This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. 50 Michigan school districts ended the last fiscal year in the red. All of that leads to talk of consolidation, of mergers, streamline, become more efficient, join forces. But as policymakers, educators, and parents debate the merits of consolidation and merging, how about those who will feel what it's like day in and day out? The students and their teachers. That's the question Bridge magazine writer Ron French explores in his series of reports for Bridge called 13 Miles to Marshall. When struggling Albion High School closed at the end of the last school year, it meant over 150 Albion high schoolers had to be bused to nearby Marshall High School. It made sense in business terms for both districts to do this. Ron, Albion Superintendent Jerry Lynn Williams-Harper actually was the one to present the high school.
Both districts were struggling financially. Marshall, a little less than Albion, but they both were running in deficit. Albion had over $1 million in deficit that they didn't know how they could handle. They'd already cut to the bone. They had closed six schools in 15 years already. They were down to basically one school and a high school. They were down to virtually no extracurriculars of any kind. They lost their football team. They were losing more than half of their children through school of choice to surrounding school districts. They were in a death spiral. Marshall, which if you go there, it's a cute little town, mm-hmm. and the high school is sparkling and it's had a lot of renovations to it. Yet even in a situation like that, they were losing money. They had about $1 million that they didn't know how they were going to have to replace.
Where did that come from? Why was that? Were they losing students as well?
They were losing students as well. They were losing a net of between 300 and 400 students a year through school of choice. And if you add that up by 7,000, you're talking about $2 million right there every year that they're having to replace because kids are choosing to go elsewhere.
So Jerry Lynn Williams-Harper of Albion says to Randall Davis, my babies need to be at Marshall. So it happened.
That's right. That's right.
And when I think of – and we should also note, this was not a consolidation of districts. This was just of the high school. So Albion retained its K through 8 classes, and it's still an independent district.
Absolutely it is. The reason that works is because high schools are much more expensive to operate mm-hmm. than elementary schools. So by getting rid of their high school, they were able to save a lot of money. Now, Marshall had room in their existing high school for the approximately 150, 160 kids mm-hmm. that they were going to take from Albion. So all they had to do was hire about three or four more teachers. And yet they were getting those 150 kids times $7,000, and it eliminated their deficit.
What were – before it all began, is it was all worked out on paper and the grown-ups all decided what was going to happen for these kids – what were the biggest, apart from the dollars and cents, what were the pros? What were the Albion students going to gain by going to Marshall?
The Albion students were going to gain a lot of opportunities mm-hmm. that they did not have at Albion High School. In the last year of Albion High School, they had three clubs, extracurricular clubs. At Marshall, they have over 30. They had eight sports teams left. And boys and girls each have about a dozen at Marshall High School. There are all sorts of opportunities. The play, the school play, that's just a tradition, right? They did have a play at Albion High School, but by that last year, it was a couple of chairs on a stage with just a canvas in the back that looked like a brick wall. Mm. By comparison, the production that Marshall is doing right now is Grease. They have a working car that drives out onto stage. They have 40 dancers who come out and hand jive across the stage. It's this huge production, and it's in this brand new 900-seat sparkling performing arts center right there on the campus of the school. You're getting a lot of opportunities, and this isn't a difference between, Cynthia, between being rich and poor, and there's nothing wrong with not having money. Mm-hmm. You know, I certainly grew up poor, but these types of opportunities help kids grow. It helps them learn. It gives them a better chance at life once they get out of high school.
It certainly gives them a sense of being able to make it in the college world if they go on to college.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the risks. Again, on paper, as they all talked about it over the summer and planned for this to happen last fall, what were seen as the risks for both student bodies?
Yeah, actually, both communities struggled with the idea. Mm-hmm. Management of both districts really wanted it, felt it was going to be a good idea for both economically for the districts and for the students. But there were a lot of parents in both districts who were not in favor of it at the time. In Albion, what you saw was two things. One was it's a majority African-American school, and there was some concern among parents as to how the African-American students were going to be accepted into a school that was over 90% white. Were they right to think that? Who knows? But I can tell you that at the time there was concern. And the other thing was, and this is something a lot of small towns go through, you know, I grew up in a tiny town, mm-hmm. and you saw people twice a week, once at church and once on Friday nights at the basketball games. You're taking away their basketball games. You're taking away their football games. Mm-hmm. What – you lose a sense of community when you lose your high school. Suddenly you can't – no one's wearing the Wildcat T-shirts anymore because the school does not exist anymore. At Marshall, there was a different concern, and there it was more – along the lines of what was going to happen to our high academic standards. Now, again, is that racially motivated by saying that? But the fact is that at the time, Marshall had very high standardized test scores. Albion did not. And so you're bringing in 150, 160 kids with lower test scores. Is this going to affect our standing? Are we not going to be the elite academic school in the county anymore?
Well, here we go. Here comes fall. There are 170 Albion students and administrators. We're guessing 120 or so of them would show up at Marshall High School. But on the first day of class, 160 showed up, which said they'd bought into it.
They bought into it, that everyone was going to give it a shot. And the reason they bought into it is because of the just amazing amount of spade work that the two superintendents did on this. They brought over the Albion students to Marshall High School last May or June for mm-hmm. a day. They were met at the door by the marching band. They were led through this school by groups of students trying to make them feel welcome. In the summer, they had a symposium at Albion College for students from both schools where they spent the full weekend, and they intentionally roomed Albion students with Marshall students, you know, for the weekend. And they had all sorts of bonding activities. And so by the time September rolled around, a lot of kids knew each other, were feeling more comfortable about it. They were getting more excited about the opportunities.
So did the fears materialize, let's say, first of the Albion parents who were afraid that their black children were going to be marginalized in a white school?
Not really. No, not at all. There are going to be problems in every high school, no matter who.
Because
who's
it's
there.
High school.
Because it's high school.
Because it's high school.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But to answer the question, no. The kids have gotten along great. They've gotten along better than anyone expected, but gotten along better than the administrators who were proponents of this mm-hmm. expected even. The thing that is said over and over again by the students now, both from Marshall and Albion, is that this will work out fine if the adults get out of the way.
Well, in fact, I had to salute Marshall Senior Tiara Orban, and you have her quote in your story in Bridge. Here it is. It's the older generation that had problems. They said we wouldn't get along. They said when we go to school, we're not going to learn because we don't learn in the same way. But it was sweet. I have a big group of new friends.
That was great.
That was great. Did you hear similar things from Albion students?
Absolutely. The thing, though, there is still a transition going on.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, it's a transition that's a lot easier for the Marshall students than it is for the Albion students. They're at the same school mm-hmm. with the same teachers, the same mascot. You know, this is a totally new thing for the Albion students. So the Albion students, if I had to generalize.
Yes.
Okay. Because, you know, you talk to 150 people, you get 150
sure.
different answers. But if I had to generalize, the sense is this is a good move. It's an absolutely great move in the long run. This is better for us academically. I know this is a good thing. But there are still times where I feel uncomfortable, where I don't feel like a part of the school yet.
Why is that?
Well, part of it, Cynthia, I think it's probably less racial than it – partly you're going to a school where – 700 of the students who are there know each other, have grown up together. and you're coming in to be about 15%, 20% of the student population, knowing very few people. So there's some of that, and that transition will take care of itself after a few years.
Right.
But there is a little economics involved too, because you have a situation where Marshall students are going to be very accepting, and they're very friendly. Mm-hmm. They think nothing of it. But there are things that Albion students will notice that Marshall students won't.
You commented on one of the Albion students saw a Marshall girl dragging her laptop by its cord, really not taking care of it at all, and thinking, I would never do that.
Right.
Those are the million and one things that emerge hour by hour as you go through your school day.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's this is not to blame the Marshall kids in any way. You know, it's just a difference in background. And frankly, it's going to be good for the students from both those communities to be in school with people who are a little different from them, because that's what life is going to be like, especially if they go to college and the workplace, wherever they go. They're going to be around people who sometimes don't look like them, sometimes have more money than them, and sometimes have less money than them.
If you've just joined us, I'm speaking with Bridge Magazine writer Ron French, who explored the merger of Albion and Marshall High Schools in his series of reports for Bridge called 13 Miles to Marshall. What did you hear from the teachers? And I know you spent time especially with the English teacher Julie Smith observing her classes. So how did it work for them?
Yeah, absolutely. They did some work at the beginning trying to figure out, do we need to adjust how we teach or what we teach. Mm. And the impression was that everyone decided we're going to do the same lessons. We're not going to water this down because of students who may not have quite the academic background of some of the students we've taught before. And generally what they say, there are students who are on high honors at Marshall who live in Albion. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, some of them are struggling academically. Some of them, they move from higher level classes to lower level classes at the beginning of the year. A few have dropped out of AP classes. They're struggling because they don't have the sort of background. But what you're finding from the teachers is they are just so impressed with the resilience of these kids that they are in a new environment, sort of thing that I probably curl up in a ball in the corner and cry. But these kids are up at 5:30 every morning, getting on the bus to get there, spending all day. Sometimes they're there till 7 or 8 at night because they have extracurricular activities. They're doing their homework. And even when their grades are not quite what they were at Albion, they are really putting out an effort. And it's really inspiring to see how they're responding to this changed situation.
You know, it was interesting as I read all four of your pieces in Bridge. There were an enormous amount of comments, and a lot of them were highly critical of you, of Julie Smith. Others were hotly defending Ms. Smith. Why do you think this drew such a very, very heated emotional response from your readers?
Yeah, I've wondered that myself. It was a little surprising to us, and it saddens us in some way because mm-hmm. we felt we were trying. We all felt at Bridge that we felt so inspired by these kids, and we felt that this was a good example of how the system can work. But I think this is a situation where it's a story that really cuts to the bone. Mm-hmm. We're having people look in the mirror and saying that, yes, this person doesn't have the same income as this other person. Yes, this person has a different skin color. And does this make a difference? Generally, I think it does not in the long run. But we have to talk about this because, let's face it, you know, it's the elephant in the room. You know, this is why it was a problem last spring. This is a problem why other districts have not already done this, because they're not sure they want this sort of thing to happen in their communities. But what you find in the end is that these kids are getting along. A lot of the reaction they're getting to the story is that we get along better than what you say.
Which, in fact, I came away with a strong sense that it is hopeful and things are progressing, and Albion students are being lifted maybe to a higher level of effort and therefore achievement. You have kids hand jiving – Albion kids are hand jiving in Greece and being part of things. There was that incident that you were you observed in the English class, the AP English class, and there was a student-led discussion. And
right.
The Albion student, the African-American student, never got called on.
Yeah.
And people were angry at the teacher about that. But the point was she did make an observation, yet the students didn't call on this girl.
This is an exercise they do all the time mm-hmm. in this class, and I suspect in more than just that one class,
yeah.
where the teacher is trying to empower the students to lead the discussion. And the students talk about the book they were reading at the time. It was Brave New World, and which was sort of ironic considering the story we were doing.
Yeah.
And then once that student spoke, the student called on another student to speak. And you saw them go around the room. They were sitting in a circle, in fact. And they would call on, as you'd expect, mm-hmm. in high school, you call on your friends.
Yeah.
Well, the one student in this class from Albion kept raising her hand to speak, and no one ever called on her. The teacher at one point, because she didn't want to interfere, but did say, urged these students, make sure everyone gets a chance to talk here. It didn't happen, and the girl was very frustrated. Was it a one-time thing? I was told later it was not a one-time thing, but I can tell you that also, would that have happened in other schools where every student is Caucasian and you're calling on your friends? It could have been.
Well, and then I can just say, based on a personal experience of having transferred in my 10th grade, 2 months into 10th grade, from a very small all-girls Catholic school to a very large public school, it has nothing to do
exactly. –
that feeling of being isolated had nothing to do with skin color. So you're just the outie from the new school. So you have to wonder how much of that is because you're the new kid from the new school.
Absolutely. There was a freshman I spoke to from Albion. So her first experience in high school has been at Marshall. And she was on the girls' freshman basketball team. With a lot of girls from Marshall, and she has already plans for the summer where she's going to be spending the summer hanging out with her, you know, Caucasian middle class
friends. New friends,
right? And so that's what this school is going to be like in 2 or 3 years. There is going to be no Albion or Marshall. It's just going to be a Marshall High School.
So, what lessons do you think this Albion Marshall High School merger will teach other districts who are watching it closely and wrestling with their own deficits?
Take a chance and get it done. You see here, if it were going to fail, this would have been a place for it to fail, because you had two very different communities. They were bitter rivals on the sports field, and it's worked out tremendously. If it can work there, it can work in Pontiac. It can work in a lot of different places. It can work, you know. So we got to stop thinking of these mergers as it's us against them. We have to think what's best for the kids.
Ron French, his 4-part report, 13 Miles to Marshall, can be found at Bridge Magazine. Ron, thank you so much.
Thank you.